We talked last week about these 144,000 that were slain. They were virgins. They were Jewish. They sang a song that no other human being could learn. We talked about the beauty of that song. We talked about the thunder, like timpani drums in the background of an orchestra. And what would they be like? We saw that these 144,000 followed Jesus wherever he went. And that looks like an entourage, but I think we pursued some ideas that we'll know when we get there. But we don't follow him wherever he goes. We're with him in heaven. And we go where he sends us. We'll have great assignments, I'm sure. But I would think that if there were any bad guys, but all the bad guys apparently are going to be gone. Imagine you ran into a dude that was so powerful, he had an entourage of 144,000 people walking behind him. You'd probably respect him very quickly. And I think that's one of the things when we see them, we'll remember what we were delivered from and be grateful. We should be grateful here while we are alive and breathing. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we humbly come before your throne and bow our knee to your throne. Our allegiance is with you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for forgiving us. We thank you for giving us a second chance, if not a third or a fourth or a hundredth chance. You're so gracious and kind to us, and we really appreciate it. And we pray that we could be used by you to spread your word and your love and be used by you for your glory and your honor. And we pray, God, you'd have mercy on America that has fallen so far away from you. And we'd like to ask that we could be used to help people find you before your judgment comes. So bless this audience, those that are streaming on the internet, watching live somewhere, or they're on the radio throughout the country. We pray that they'll feel your presence as we do. They'll recognize your love. And feel the unction of the Holy Spirit that stirs us up to do good works. And I thank you for the privilege that you've given me these last 4 months and for the honor of being here and being with my brothers and sisters and helping some find you and others to learn of you and others to walk with you. And so we pray as we finish this study in the next 2 weeks, we will be held accountable for what we have read and heard and learned. And what are we going to do with our lives now that we know that millions and hundreds of millions of people are going to die for eternity? They're going to be lost away from you. We can't just start playing the world game again. So give us the power and the strength to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so chapter 14, we're at verse 6, and I'll read this through for you, and we'll go back over it. Then I saw another angel, a lot of angelic activity going these last few chapters. I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God. Give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." And another angel followed, saying, "Babylon is fallen, that great city." It's a shift. A shift just took place, and we'll see this shift. It has fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image," remember the mark is 666 on the forehead of the right hand, "and his image, and receives his mark on his forehead and on his hand," if anybody does that, he himself, that person, is sold his soul out at that point. "He himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Well, here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. So then I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And on the cloud sat one, here's another shift, one like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of earth is ripe. So he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And then another angel, see quite a few angels just flying around out here, came out of the temple, which is in heaven. Now he also had a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire. And he cried with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. So the angel did thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth, and he threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress, look at this, was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress up to the horse's bridle, 1,600 furlongs. So that's a horse's bridle is about 4 feet high. So imagine the volume of blood that it's talking about here is going to be horrible. What's happening? So let's just take a look at a couple of these things as we move into chapter 15. First, this angel reminds us how powerful angels are. Jesus said the angels of the children do behold the Father's face daily. That's the verse I think that people got, that there are guardian angels or children have angels, more than likely. But if there were angels assigned to us, maybe they still are. We've probably worn them out by now. But when we're little, imagine that while we're asleep and we're so innocent, and the angels go to the Lord and he gives them their orders for you and me to look after us. We come to an age that's called an age of accountability. And it's different for different people. There might be one number that the Lord uses, but there could be some kids grow up very early. I have a picture of the dump in Manila, Philippines. And this little boy has to be 5 years old at the most. And he's got a bandana wrapped around his head, and he's got shorts and a really filthy t-shirt. He has no mom or dad. He's living in Smoky Mountain. At that time, when I took that picture, 10,000 boys and girls were living without parents in that dump. And I had our youngest son, who's now a pastor, and we met with the president of the Philippines, and we were sitting in her meeting room. And when she asked Philip why he came to the Philippines and why he was at Smoky Mountain, she slid forward on her little throne to hear what a 10-year-old boy has to say. And it was so sweet. He looked at me and I said, she wants to hear from you. He was trying to be gracious at 10 years old. And he said, well, my mom and dad has given me my own bedroom and all of my brothers and sisters, and they love us, and we go to church together, and we have clothes. And I came here to love these children, have no moms and dads or beds or pillows or blankets or clothes. That touched her, and she said some really wonderful things after that. But you stop and you think of how a child like that, how without the help of God, without Jesus coming, that he was looking like this in the camera at me, ready to fight. He was only about that tall. I mean, he was mean, just angry. And had God not gotten to him by now, I'm sure he is a gangster. And all that bitterness. And there's a lot of gangsters walking around that are just good kids that went bad. So we need to pray for those gangsters and let the Lord do what man can't do. So when you think of this angel, and he's out there, and he's preaching, actually, and his words, he's got the everlasting gospel. He's circulating around the world. Now, I want you to realize that, of how much this says right there in verse 6 and 7. First of all, it's one angel. He's in the midst of the heavens. His voice is so loud that everybody on the planet can hear him. Okay? And he's so brilliant, he can speak in every native tongue or tribe, a dialect. I don't know if you've ever been in jungles or places, but I've been in several jungles around the world, and there are times you meet some people who've never seen a white boy before, and they look at you, and they look at you, and they want to see what you feel like if they pull on your ear or poke you in the nose. They just are just primitive still. And yet, this angel can speak their language. I can remember the jungles of northern Thailand by the Laos border. I took 16 pastors to introduce them to Asia. And we went into this jungle area. And there was a people there that were so indigenous, it took three languages to speak their language. I spoke English. Somebody spoke Thai. Somebody spoke the next, and then the third person was the dialect for that tribe. And there was 150 people, and 150 people all accepted the Lord. When the witch doctor, who was the chief, was chopping up a pig with blood spraying everywhere, when I had to go say hello and goodbye to him, I thought, there's no hope. These people will never get the gospel. But those people prayed. Well, that guy walked across the village of 650, and he mysteriously died, the witch doctor who was the chief. The 150 led the entire village, the rest of it, to Jesus. And all these years later, they're out in the mountains of Cambodia, Thailand, and finding indigenous groups that speak nobody's language and sharing Jesus with them. God's powerful. So imagine, this is one angel, just one angel. And it says every tongue, so that's every language, every tribe, that's the dialect, every people, everywhere, in every nation, and there are no governments, I've been in most of them, that have communist rule or other rule, and the gospel gets through everything. So don't ever stop sharing the gospel. The next thing I wanted to point out was his message to all the world was fear God. Now, it's not boogeyman fear, you know, like Freddy on Elm Street or something. Oh, I got to be afraid of this guy. It's fear out of respect. Awesome respect is a good translation for fearing God. I fear him. The Bible says, let you not be many teachers because you're going to receive the greater judgment. So I'm going to be held more accountable than you might be. And I fear about that. I wonder, Lord, I've made so many mistakes as a Christian. What about this? Well, I know his grace is sufficient. So I accept that. But to fear God and respect him. And then the second part of that message was give glory to God. And our lives should bring glory, not disaster. And it should bring it to God with whatever gifts he gives you, that you will share those in humility and God's graciousness to other people. Not looking for anything in payment or back. You're doing it out of the love of God for Jesus Christ, for what he's done in your heart and your life. So the communication of this angel caught my attention. It's long volume, very loud, and strong, deep content. Every language, you're going to see in a minute, the islanders get it, the mountain people get it. Fear God, give him glory. So worship him. And who do you worship? He's very clear. The one who made heaven, earth, in verse 7, the sea and the springs of water. The second thing, the hour of his judgment has come. That was this angel's message. Now, we've talked several times over the last 4 months about time. The Bible says that to the Lord, a day is equal to 1,000 years to us. And 1,000 years is equal to one day to him. So time, he's in eternity. But it's mentioned time stood still. We looked at it one night, how that there was no more time. And now it says the hour off. Now just think of this. There are a lot of people driving in Southern California right now and later tonight that they're 1 hour away from being face to face with God. Had a firefighter that died one day in San Diego, and I went with the chief to tell his wife, and she and the neighbor were going to drive to Santa Barbara from San Diego, and then to San Luis Obispo to Cal Poly. Their son was University of California, Santa Barbara, and she was Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo. And she mentioned that with her neighbor lady. And I said, I wouldn't let my wife or my girls drive through. If you leave in an hour, you'll be going through Los Angeles at 2 in the morning. All the bars are closing. So I'm not going to let any woman go through L.A. I mean, you just get a flat tire, you don't know what's going to happen to you. So they waited. And I stop and I think of how we're just an hour away from something. We just don't know. But to think that they declare it's 1 hour, the hour has come, and everybody's going to have that hour of judgment, the hour of judgment. Now, the shift that takes place is important for us to notice as a shift, because some of you maybe have never studied this or looked at this, but I want to point that out, and I think it's verse 8, wasn't it? Yes, another angel has another message. Babylon is fallen, that great city. Now, there's a book, if you're interested. It's probably one of the most intense, deep, theological, historical books that can make Babylon look understandable. And you will see many things going on in the world today that shows you that Babylon is still alive. It's a system. It's a dual system. It's a religious system, and it's also a merchandising, money-changing system that the whole world runs on. And now everybody's feeling the squeeze right now. I think it's 58% of Americans today, just this week, 58% are living paycheck to paycheck. And we just left an era where hundreds of millionaires were made because of the stock market. Now everything's collapsing. And the fellows that think these things out about a one-world government, they just brought China together with Iran and Saudi Arabia. And they are going with Russia and changing away from the dollar. And that's going to cause a collapse in Europe. And it's going to cause a big collapse in the USA very shortly. And then all of a sudden, a miracle man's going to rise up. Man of peace. And he's going to get everybody to worship. And then to do so, you have to take this mark. You're not going to be able to buy or sell. This is how they're going to tell who they're disciples are, is this mark. And they already have it in Scandinavia and several countries, and it's popping up in prisons, tested in prisons, and it's a chip that can go under the skin, just like your dog or cat has behind the ear and the neck, in the fatty tissue, and all you do is just stick your arm out. They've got you one step away because you reached to your wallet instead of giving your credit card to the person, or then they made it so you could swipe it yourself, and then they made it you could stick your chip in there. Now they made it so you can just tap it, and it'll do everything for you. And the next one will be you've been programmed. Just lay your hand down there. Thank you very much. It's all taken care of. That quick. We're so close. So if I don't see you in 2 weeks, and you're still here, and everybody else is missing, you may want to question what you're up to. So Babylon is a very important subject, but it's by a man named Hyslop, H-Y-S-L-O-P, and it's called The Two Babylons. It's got all sorts of diagrams from the early centuries of Roman Catholic Church and the worship of Semiramis in relationship to the worship of Mary, the worship of Nimrod, who is in Genesis, the hunter, and his mother claimed to be a virgin. She gave birth to Nimrod on December 25th, and we got Christmas out of that. And he was lost in the wilderness, and a bear or a lion got him in the spring, and they thought he was dead for 3 days and three nights, and he came out of the wilderness, and they started getting excited and caused a spring holiday to break Hebrew. And it was named after the goddess Ashtart, and in the Bible it's called Easter, the same thing. And the reason there's bunny rabbits and colored eggs is because the egg is a sign of fertility, and the bunny is very prolific. So they tied it in with the worship of the spring and of Semiramis and her son. She was called the Mother of God, and you sought God through her. And then they had priests for the Babylon religion, and they met in a little confessional booth, and they knew everything in every neighborhood by collecting the intel to the priest of what was going on in every house. Very interesting book, and opens your eyes to a lot of things and makes the world shatter right before your eyes. So read it with prayer. So Babylon is a very big thing that's coming up in the next couple of chapters here, towards the end. And I think it's great to see how God deals with this whole thing we call the world before he sees New Jerusalem coming down for us, the new city, the gold streets. And from there, apparently, that's going to be the headquarters, and we're going to go throughout the universe, and wherever else he has anywhere, we'll serve him. So it's fallen, and that's a shift for the whole world. In verse 9 through 11, there's a price to pay if you worship the devil or his system. And that price is you sell your soul for eternity. And the world does not think of those things when they're high or they're out there doing their thing. And I know I sure didn't. I was thinking about everything else but the truth. But this is what's going to happen. And the people will pay the price for it. Now, verse 12 and 13, it brings two thoughts up to us. Patience, here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and his faith of Jesus. I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they shall rest from their labors and their works will follow them. And so this is the tribulation saints that are going to come to the Lord. And they are going to be the opposite of the devil's kids, will never rest, never find peace and patience. But God's kids, as we have found as witnesses today, and if you were in the tribulation and gave your heart to Jesus. Now in verse 12 through 13, he tells us this about patience. He tells us about the rest and peace. In verse 14, he tells us, I looked, and behold, there's a white cloud. And we read about that cloud. Verse 14 to 16, it's the time to reap all the judgment altogether. And there's one that looks like the Lord, and he's going to put a sickle down into the earth, and it's going to produce a wine press, and it's going to be outside the gates of the city. And when it comes through his judgment, it tells us that it's going to go up the horse's bridle. Now, most would believe he's talking about the battle of Armageddon. How many of you have ever heard Armageddon? Are you familiar with it? Okay. It's a real valley. I've been there many times. If you're on the southern side of Armageddon and you're up on the hill at Solomon's Winter Palace, I guess it would have been. He had 4,000 horses or something in that area. You can look down, you'll see an Air Force base, Israeli Air Force. And you look to the left, and there's Haifa, the big port city. And then you'll see this magnificent valley that goes on and on and on. That valley is 10 miles wide, 183 miles long. And David Guzik in his commentary says it's talking about blood spattered up to the neck, the reins. I still think it's blood because all the armies of the world are going to gather in that one spot. And then Jesus comes back at that one spot. And with that much blood, 4 feet high, 10 miles wide, and 183 would be about a pretty good-sized population of the world being there. It's a horrible battle. But all the armies of the world are going to try to take control of the world, and the Lord's going to let them just fall. So this is one reason I try to help people in the Lord, is because I see what's coming. And I only see what's coming because I know what's coming. And I only know what I see is because I've read it and the Spirit has taught it. But I'm held accountable for your soul. If you don't have to do it, I do. But if I don't, I'm in trouble. Because I've seen into hell too many nights when I should have gone into hell and he snatched me out. And so I'm responsible to him to be faithful and loyal to him. And you'll have to come to a place in your Christian experience where you realize there are boundaries for you and you want to be faithful to those things. So in chapter 15, I saw another sign. So here we are again, we're talking signs and wonders. But it's in heaven, so we're looking out to heaven. Great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last plagues. Otherwise, it's near the end. For in them, the wrath of God is completed. Seven angels, seven last plagues, the wrath of God is completed. So that's what this chapter is going to talk to us about. These seven angels, and then the judgments that come. How important it is for us to understand these judgments are against people that serve the devil, hate God, and will not repent of their sins no matter what. They bring it upon themselves because he created them for his good pleasure and they don't want anything to do with him. It'd be like you being a parent and you get a kid that just doesn't want anything to do with you and just treats you horribly. Doesn't mean you're going to judge them, but you can understand the feelings. So let's look at that very closely. I saw something like the sea of glass mingled with fire. And those who had the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark. So these are people that make it. And over the number of his name, standing on a sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. I'd like us all to stand up right now. And I'd like to read that song together. And look at the quality of character that Moses reveals to us of how we should stand and worship God. Will you read it out loud with me? Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. So, Lord, I pray you would sink that into my brothers and sisters' hearts. That in that song, we see him saying how justified you are for what you are doing. Your ways are just, your ways are true. Who shall fear you? They don't fear you. We do. Who should glorify your name? They won't glorify your name. We do. Only you are holy. And then he says that the nations are going to come to you. Bless my brothers and sisters that we can adopt this character of how we speak about you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. After these things, I looked and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure, bright linen, having their chests girded with golden bands. And then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. Now, we stop and we think, the wrath of God. But then you see these angels come out, and they've got golden bowls. I mean, God's wrath is going to be poured out in a pure golden bowl. We don't know how big this bowl is. And you'll see why I bring that up. But what God is going to do is just going to be amazing. I looked, and behold, the tabernacle was open. One of the four living creatures called the seven angels, the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God. How his glory brings smoke, I don't know. But I want you to look closely. The temple is filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And note this, no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. No one. However, whatever reason, God has put a space of time at halt that nobody could go in because of His glory and His power. There's always room in heaven for you. And this is a standstill time for those of us that will be in heaven looking down, and for those that are on earth looking up saying, what is going on in the world today? And that's being said a lot around the world today. There's always room in heaven for you and the people you love because God loves you. Don't ever forget that. If you turn away from God and you walk into the darkness again, don't ever forget God loves you. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple, chapter 16, verse 1, saying to now directly to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. Here's the first bowl. This is the first one that's going to strike down to earth. The first bowl comes and it has a horrible sore. It pours out upon the earth a foul. It smells, it's stinky, it's ugly, it's loathsome sore. Come upon men who had the mark of the beast and those who worship His image. That's going to be people with things all over their bodies, walking down the street, all over their faces. If you were here, you wouldn't want to be around them. That's just the beginning. Then the second bowl comes with the second angel, and look what he has. He poured a bowl on the sea. Now, about 3/4 of the earth is sea. And all the sea came as blood of a dead man. And every, not a few or some or millions, but every living creature in the sea did what? Died. Imagine that. Now imagine all those whales, all those porpoises, all those sharks, all those crabs and lobsters, everything floating up to the top now, and the stench that's going out through the earth. And it's blood red. The third bowl comes out. This angel pours out his bowl onto the rivers and the springs of water. They became like blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying something. So he got two bowls that his judgment shows up in the ocean as blood and the rivers and the springs as blood. Now in Israel, there is a spring that sputters up out where the tribe of Dan was, and you can see it today. And it gets bubbling, gurgling, and it gets wider and stronger, and it starts flowing. It's one of the heads of the Jordan River. In Jericho, there's a spring down there in the desert. Just the basin is dry, sometimes 120 plus degrees in the summertime down there. The Dead Sea is down there, lowest place on earth. And there's a spring that God planned that it would always be coming up for the people in the area of Jericho. And that was the first city that God gave to the Israelites when they came across the Jordan River, was Jericho. Then when they went for the second city on their own without God, they lost the city of Ai. So now you got this ugliness. We need air and we need water. We can figure out if we can eat bark of a tree or something, but without air and without water, we're in trouble. Now the earth is in trouble. So I'd like you to stand one more time. This is to give your knees a lot of exercise. And this is the angel of the waters saying something. And I want you to get this into your mind because he's explaining why the judgments. And when you get people say, well, I couldn't believe in a wrathful God. Remember, these are not God's kids. These are the devil's kids. And we've read three places where in Revelation alone it says they would not repent of their sins. And they cursed and blasphemed God. So let's read this out together loudly too. You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is, who was, and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. Lord, we pray for the Christians in China. We pray for the Christians that are being tortured in Iran. We pray for those that are suffering in Russia, Cuba, and in other countries. I pray for the Christians that were arrested, the missionaries from Calvary Chapel that are in Libya. I'd like to pray you'd continue releasing all of them. Pray, Lord, for all those that are suffering, for being called spies or whatever thing, around the world. And you said this is their just due because they shed the blood of your saints. We want to remember that, Lord. You are righteous. You have right to judge. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're almost finished. You can be seated. So I heard another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." That's an oath. You need to mark that in your Bible. That's an oath. That God, this is defense. If you're in a court of law and somebody said something evil about God, you could stand up and use this as your oath of truth. That God Almighty is true and righteous in his judgments. He's not doing unrighteous and untrue judgments. And then the fourth angel pours out his bowl. And this one's an interesting one because he pours it on the sun. Now our sun is 93 million miles from here. And tomorrow, when you see the sun, you've got old light. It takes 8 minutes for the light to get to Romaland. And it is so huge. It's enormous. But there are stars they're finding now with the Webb telescope that are huge, that make our sun look like the Earth compared to our sun. It's huge, our sun is. And we're going to see something else about the sun in a minute. But I don't know if he had a teaspoon bowl or a cup bowl, or if he had a gallon bowl, or if he had several acres of wrath in it. But he pours it on the sun, and we get our life from the sun. And all life comes with the sunlight on this planet. So this is a big one. When he does that, look what happens. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent. There you go again. His justice is right. His judgment is true. They did not repent and give him glory. They wanted to die apart from God. Now, I was at 9/11. I was on a special disaster response team when the towers went down, and there's 26 of us trained by the federal government, and security clearance from the Congress said no individual or organization could stop our forward progress. We were there for spiritual care. And we were a little bit different than a regular chaplain. And one night, it was a Sunday night, I'd been working at the morgue for 4 days, I guess, and I went down to Ground Zero, and I saw the fire chief. And I walked over to him and introduced myself and showed him my ID and said, I'm bringing chaplains around, hand-picking them from all over the country, and I know that you have different needs than law enforcement, and I'd like to help you, because I do have law enforcement here that could help you, but I'd like to make sure you get the best in the country for fire chaplains. And this broken man, he said, you see those people standing right there? And there was a tent, white tent, like you'd have at a picnic or a birthday party in your backyard or a wedding. And I don't know, a couple dozen with epaulets and spaghetti on their hats and stars. And he said, Mike, that's all I have left of all of my management. I lost over 300 friends when the towers went down. Almost my entire management staff was killed and 300 and plus died. He said, could you put a chaplain there 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, until this hellish action is finished? I said, absolutely. Glad to, sir. Glad to. I think of this scorching. When's the last time you prayed for a fireman? They've seen and smelled things that you and I don't want to see and smell. They live with it their whole life. Same with police officers. They drive by us with their sirens on, the ambulance goes by, the EMT workers, all of them. Do you ever pray for them? Because imagine when there is no services available because all the systems of the nations are broken. that no fireman is going to come and help this scorch, or any doctor is going to ooze the pain and soothe it. I think it's really important we start praying for those little things that are around us all day long that aren't going to be here. It's kind of a scary thing when you think of that. How sad it's going to be for these people, and some of them could be our family members. We don't want that to be. The fourth angel poured out his blood on the sun. Men were scorched. They blasphemed God. The fifth angel pours out his bowl on the throne of the beast and on his kingdom. And look what happens. Darkness covered it all. The whole world goes dark in his kingdom. All of his politicians go dark. The military goes dark. Everybody goes dark. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. Now, gnawing your tongue would cause a lot of pain. So why would you be chewing on your tongue if you've got pain? Because it's going to cause more pain. So it shows insanity is clicking in now with the masses. This is a slight thing, but it's just something to remember, people that are in pain. You might have friends that are in pain. It's a horrible thing to live with pain. So he pours out, and they gnaw their tongues. And look what happens in verse 11. We're just about done. They blaspheme the God of heaven. They still aren't repenting because of their pains, their sores, and they did not repent of their sins or their deeds. This is how hard these people's hearts are. And if you're in pain, let me tell you, because I've suffered for 35 years nonstop with pain, you don't curse God, you bless God. You don't look at the negative and, oh, if only you were really up there and cared. It has nothing to do with him caring or not caring. It has everything to do with my heart, how I'm going to respond to whatever comes my way. There's a day I would have grabbed a fifth of Jack Daniels and, okay, good. I'll be at work on time, but I won't be doing too well about my eighth or ninth hour when I get home. Mm-mm. You stand with the Lord because he felt every bit of my pain and your pain and your suffering. And your agony, and the failures, and the backsliding, and the stupid things we did. He took it all. His judgment is righteous and true. We don't curse him because of it. We honor him because he honors us by giving us eternal life. So this is kind of scary. This last thing, they didn't repent of their sins. Verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the river Euphrates. The water dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. I'd like to show you a map right now, if I could, Spencer. Isn't that a great map? Way over here. Did you take Israel away? You did. It's by what? No, that's Caspian Sea. Oh, down here? No. It's over here somewhere. Okay, somewhere in that area is Israel. Off the map, I think. I don't see it. Here's Iran. Because it should be right next to Syria and Jordan. So, but anyhow, here's why I want you to see this. I have been thinking for decades, and others have too, that it's China, the king of the east. But it's kings, plural. And all of these countries, pretty much all of them, hate Israel. And they're of the east, even northeast Russia, over here. There's Mongolia. Here's China. There's India. They can man 200 million troops today. And that's the number that is going to come marching with the kings of the east. But the kings of India, Bangladesh, Islamabad, Pakistan, Kabul, Afghanistan, Iran, Turkestan, Kazakhstan, and over here you got Syria, Jordan. They're all going to be coming. All of those people are going to be coming. And all of them are pretty much represented on the borders of Israel tonight. Did you know that? Not just the Russians and the Syrians. The Iranians are there, and the Stan states are there, and the Turks are there. So they is going against about that much land compared to that map, and the Lord's going to win. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Praise the Lord. So let's close. I can tell you're tired. You want to have your ice cream and go to bed and cuddle up with your pillow and your sleeping bag. Behold, Jesus says, verse 15, I come as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame. They gathered themselves into a place in the Hebrew called Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, the last judgment, a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is finished." Same thing as on the cross. It is done. There were noises, thunders, lightnings. And listen to this. A great earthquake, so mighty and powerful, a great earthquake has never occurred since men were on the earth. It divided the city into three parts. Now, last week we saw 7,000 people die. The cities of the nations fell, and the great Babylon remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. When every island fled away and the mountains were no longer found, the earth is just crumbling, it's falling apart. Great hail from heaven fell upon men. Each hailstone, the weight of a talent. Now, weight of a talent is between 100 and 200 pounds. Imagine a 200-pound, just one hailstone, coming from thousands of feet up and just crashing through this building. Now do that with 100 things coming. This building wouldn't exist within 5 minutes. This is going to be all over the globe. The weather is getting so out of hand. All the islands disappear. And the mountains were no longer found. The hailstones come. And instead of repenting, look what they do. Men blaspheme God because of the plague and of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. They just can't bring it into their hearts to say, "God, forgive me. I'm so sorry that I've caused this to happen." Stay humble before the King, and he'll bless you, and he'll honor you. And don't put yourself down. You had enough of that. Let him lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you in due time. And when you thought you were good for nothing, you're really good for something. And let the Lord show you and do it through you. And you'll have a ball. It'll be fun. Because you were created for this. You just didn't know how to find this and how to walk in it. And so you went and did what you thought you'd do. Then you thought, "Oh, this is kind of boring." God blesses you. And he wants to bless you more. I can't tell you enough how much God loves you. He does. He's madly in love with you. He'll never stop loving you. And you can't get past your grandmother's prayers. Many of you have grandmothers who've been praying for you. God loves grandmas and grandpas. And he loves the big children that used to be little children. And except we become like little children, we'll never make it into heaven. Otherwise, it's that simple. If we can just let go of ourselves and just be happy as a child and accept what it is, his love will overwhelm you. And his love covers a multitude of sin. Not just a little bit, but all of it. You're forgiven.